The announced title for tonight's lesson is Love for All the Saints. Now, there's nothing up here on the screen, so you're going to have to do this in your mind, but in some way or another, make sure that that word all stands out in your mind. If you need to, in your mind, italicize it, go ahead and do that. If you need to put it in bold, that's okay. If you need to put it in all caps, whatever you need to do, remember that we're talking tonight about love for all the saints. That's the subject. And we're going to use Philemon to get started with that. There in verse 5, well, let's actually start with verse 4. Philemon just has the one chapter, of course, verses 4 and 5. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. One thing we can say for sure about Philemon is that he was not partial. He wasn't partial. He loved all the saints. And it wasn't just a feeling that Philemon had, right? He actually expressed that love. Look there in verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And so it wasn't just a feeling of love he had toward all the saints. He actually demonstrated that. He did things for them that refreshed them. If we could borrow some language from 1 John 3 and verse 18, we could say that Philemon did not just love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so what a wonderful example Philemon serves for us. He loved all the saints. But you know, he's not the only one that's commended for this in the New Testament. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look together at verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 1, beginning there in verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So for the second time now, we've seen this love for all the saints, right? Well, look in Colossians. Just a couple of books over there in Colossians chapter 1. And let's read together verses 3 and 4. Starting there in verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love, here it is again, for all the saints. Y'all seeing a pattern beginning to develop here? Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. So in this case, it would seem to have extended beyond the brethren there in Thessalonica, right? Would have included those brethren in Berea and Philippi, for example, other towns there in Thessalonica. But again, they were showing love for all the brethren. But of course, he concludes it with, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Have we seen enough already to know that this is a point of emphasis in the New Testament? Love for all the saints is a point of emphasis. In fact, I want you to look at one other passage with me just in the way of introduction. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm sure at least many of you here are familiar with this passage. Let's start there in verse 9. Galatians 6, starting there again in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so here's the deal. What God charges me to do is to do good for all the saints, to show love for all the saints. Now, that means that I've got to love those other than just my family members, right? It's easy enough. You know, sometimes you're working with a local church, you may have several family members there with you. Okay, yes, you certainly need to pay them some attention, but don't pay them so much attention that you neglect everybody else, right? You're going to have to show love for others besides your close friends. Anything wrong with, you know, having those brethren working with you within a local church that maybe are a little bit closer to you in some ways than maybe some? That's fine. Okay, but we got to be careful with that, right? Got to be careful with that. We're showing love for all the saints, not just our close friends. And we can't just show love for those in our same age group. Do the young people here need to do good to the old people? Do the old people need to do good to the young people? We don't need to just get in our little age group, right? And there's very little attention shown to anyone else outside that age group. That's not good. That's not good. We need to show love for all the saints. And yes, that even includes those with whom we may have had some issues in the past. Okay? There may have been some issues that have arisen between us. You know, maybe some hard conversations we've had to have. Maybe somebody has wronged you in the past, and so forth. Does it include those people? Sure it does. Still includes those. It even includes those who whose personality just seems to grate on us a little bit. Now look, let's get all our cards on the table. Sometimes that happens, right? We have people whose personalities just seem to, they just don't mesh with, I think we say in the South, we just don't gee-haw with them, right? Okay, all right, so maybe it's a little bit more difficult for you to spend time with them. You get where I'm going. We don't need to go on and on with this, right? But do you understand that we need to do good to all the saints? We need to show love toward all the saints. Well, here's the thing. I firmly believe that those of you here tonight who are Christians, you have every intention in the world of doing this. I believe you have good hearts. I believe you want to do what God says. I know you want to please Him in this. And the only question you may have is, okay, can I just get a little direction in how to go about that? That may be all that you want to know tonight. And so that's really what the rest of the lesson is going to be about. We're just going to talk about some specific things we can do that will help us show love toward all the saints. Now, the lesson will be in two parts. We're going to start by just talking about things we can do to show love for all the saints in this church right here, the Lawrenceville Church of Christ, right? But then in the second part, we want to extend it out a little bit, right? We want to talk about love for all the saints elsewhere, because there's an obligation there, not just within our own little group here, but elsewhere. And so those will be kind of the two parts of the lesson. All right, so what are some things we can do to show love for all the saints, all of our brethren here in this local church? All right, let's start with this. How about before and after services, move around and talk to different people? I suppose that many of you tonight are probably sitting in the same place that you usually sit. Am I right? Just give me a few nods, okay? Anything wrong with that? Of course not. Of course not. But here's the thing. Don't just learn the people that are sitting in your area. Don't just get to know them. That's why we talk about, before and after services, just kind of circulate around the building and talk to people. The only way that we're going to be able to show love toward all the brethren is we're going to have to first get to know all the brethren, right? And that's one way to do it. Now, there are a couple of benefits to that. First of all, you're going to get a really good idea of who's most in need of encouragement, right? Maybe some that you might need to pay even a little bit more attention to. So you'll learn that. But really the main benefit that we're talking about with this is we need each other. All of those brethren that you're circulating around and talking to, you need them, and they need you. And I believe there's a good passage here in Romans chapter 1 that maybe can help illustrate that point. Romans chapter 1. And let's look there at verses 11 and 12. I typically read from the New King James. I, of course, sometimes do a lot of comparison with other translations. But I want to read verse 11. Like I typically do in the New King James, but then I want to read verse 12 from the New American Standard. So verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." You see the mutual encouragement that he's talking about? I want to come to you people because I need you. And I believe that you need me. I want to be encouraged by your faith, and I want you to be encouraged by mine. And so let's get to know each and every one of our brethren here. Okay? Yeah, there may be some that we're maybe a little bit closer to than others, but we need to get to know everyone. We need every last one of them. And every last one of them needs us too, right? Let's make sure we understand that. Now, there's only so well that you can get to know someone here at services. Sometimes the conversations can't be as long as maybe we'd like, right, before and after services. And so here's the second thing we need to do. We need to invite our fellow Christians into our homes. And we need to do it a lot. We need to do it a lot. We need to have our brethren in and out of our homes on a constant basis. In fact, is there anything wrong? And look, we've got a relatively small group here, right? It's about the size of Prattmont, where I come from. Would there be anything wrong with establishing it as your goal that within a year's time to have every single one of these Christians here in your home? That's kind of a good goal to have, right? Look, if it takes a year and a half, that's fine, but just in some way, just try to have everybody there. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Let's read together there, talking about brethren just in various situations and what we need to do in those situations. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Well, listen, it's mighty hard to warn the unruly and comfort the faint-hearted and uphold the weak when we don't even know who they are. Sometimes we are blissfully ignorant of who's in those various conditions. And the reason why we're ignorant is we haven't spent enough time with them. And again, the before and after services is great, but we get really a much better opportunity to learn them while they're there with us at our house. Hospitality, of course, some of you probably know this, and Josh just preached a sermon on this just recently. I'm always checking up on you. Don't forget that, okay? But about hospitality, the word literally means love of strangers, okay? But I think about in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, it says, be hospitable to one another. And again, those may be some brethren from elsewhere that they had not met previously. But what I'm saying is, I think hospitality can certainly include those that we're already familiar with, right? And somebody said, well, but isn't hospitality more than just eating a meal with people? Absolutely it is. I believe it goes much deeper than that. It's one way that as Christians we can feel the needs of other people and them feel our needs. In other words, you may have an opportunity to strengthen that weak person. You might have an opportunity, as uncomfortable as it may be, to warn that unruly person. But you learn, brethren, you know where they are. You know what's going on. And I can tell you for a fact, it helps me in my preaching immensely. I think the way that I'm able to make applications, just the rapport that I can have with my audience, it's so much better when I know them, when I know what's going on with them. I've talked to them. They've talked to me. We've gotten to know each other very well. We've gone beyond just eating that meal together. Sometimes it starts out with a meal. Maybe we play some cards. We play some other games. But then a lot of times it turns into more serious conversations, right? So we have an opportunity, right, to really build one another up. But something else we can do to show love for all the saints. Let's make sure we visit those saints who don't have as much contact with their brethren that others might have. Those who maybe are sick for an extended period of time. Those who maybe have got to a point where they're shut in. They're just not able to get out. The elderly. Again, maybe those who are, you know, gotten so weak from older age that they're not able to interact with brethren as much. You know the situation with them, at least in many cases, right? They're especially vulnerable to discouragement. When you're not able to interact with your brethren, when you're not able to attend services regularly, when you're not able to get that mutual encouragement that we talked about earlier, you're vulnerable to discouragement. You know what? We can make sure that doesn't happen. We can make sure that doesn't happen. You know, James 1 and verse 27 talks about visiting the orphans and widows and their affliction and so forth. And I know he specifies those two groups of people, but we can take that principle, right, and apply it to other special situations. There's just some people that really need our compassion. You remember there in Matthew 25, you know, Jesus said, there was a time when I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And he went on and described some other activities, right? And then the question comes back to him, well, sorry, Lord, but when did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we do all these things? You remember what he said, right? Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I tell you what, that's about all the encouragement I need, right? About all the encouragement that I need is that when I serve them, I serve Him. Jesus identifies with those people. And so when we serve them, when we do something good for them, we're doing the same thing for Him. And so there's our motivation, right? Let's make sure we don't let these situations go without attending to them. Something else we can do. This is taken directly from Romans 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Let's talk about the first part of that first. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Now look, this is one of those self-examination questions and you're going to have to be honest with yourself and I'm going to have to be honest with myself. Ever been envious? Ever been truly envious of one of your fellow Christians? Maybe one of your fellow Christians got a job promotion. I mean a really good job promotion. And you've been stuck in this dead-end job now for about 20 years. You've applied for a better position 5 times, 10 times, whatever. It just didn't come through. And now all of a sudden, brother, what's his name? I mean, he's really been elevated to a really nice position. Ever been envious? Ever kind of just really didn't have the right attitude toward that brother? Maybe it could be a new home that some family has just moved into, new car. It could be that someone was appointed as an elder or deacon, and you've always wanted to be, and you didn't get appointed. It could be for a number of reasons, right? You know what situations like these serve as? They serve as good heart checks. Good heart checks. Tell you what, when that old green-eyed envy comes in, right, we know something's wrong. Something's wrong with our heart. But what about the last part? Weep with those who weep. Really, what this, if you look at both sides of this command, it's about identifying with people's situation, right? It's about putting yourself in their place and having the appropriate emotion. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. When people are going through a difficult time, maybe it is to the extreme of the loss of a loved one. Well, we need to put ourselves as best we can in that situation, be right there for them. And let me just say, just to be very specific, when you can, and most times if we try hard enough, we can, go to the funeral. Go to the funeral. Really, it means so much. You may have to take a day off work, a half day off of work, right? In other words, there may be some things you've got to work out, but go when you can. Some years ago, this is one of the most helpful things that I think I've ever done as far as giving me some insight into people's thinking. But there was a group of young people, and Josh Carter, you and Katie both may have been involved in this, I'm not sure. But I asked a group of young people, I said, write down for me, or I don't know if I had it written down or just they told me, like verbally, but some things that you've seen other Christians do that are say that really left an impression on you. And I mean, I got some great answers in that. But one of them was, I remember this distinctly, one of them said, well, I've gone to funerals and I noticed how far some Christians drove to be there for that funeral because they wanted to help the family. They wanted to support the family. They went way out of their way. They drove a long distance to be there. And that's something that a young Christian had noticed. And so let's do all that we can to make sure, again, both parts, right? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Here's something else. Use all the means you have at your fingertips, whether it be get well cards, phone calls, text, emails, direct messages on social media, whatever the case. Use whatever means you have at your fingertips to stay in touch with people, to offer them words of encouragement. You know, I get some of those all along. And those who know me well know that I'm not probably the most expressive person in the world. I'm kind of a laid-back person by nature. But you know what I'm saying on the inside when I get one of those messages? Yes. I don't usually verbalize it, right? I don't say it out loud, but man, there's been so many times that's just exactly what I needed. It's exactly what I needed. And I feel like if that's exactly what I needed at some point, it's probably what somebody else needs too. And again, these don't require a whole lot of effort. We can do that on a regular basis. But having said that, let's don't ever convince ourselves that that's the best way to make contact with people. What's the best way? What's number one? Face to face. That will always be best. Turn with me to 3 John. 3 John. Many of you, especially since Josh just recently spoke on this, will probably remember this. 3 John 1, verses 13 and 14. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. I've received some very encouraging emails. I've received some very encouraging messages in other formats, right? But boy, I tell you, you just don't, the nuance and all that just kind of gets lost in all that, right? Face to face is always the best. All right, one other thing we want to mention. We still haven't got to part two yet, so don't anybody go for your songbook or anything. But one other thing we want to mention as far as showing love for all the saints right here. Commend brethren on a job well done. Commendations need to be issued on the regular. And one of the reasons that I say that is they must be effective, because why? How do we know that commendations of a job well done are effective? How do we know? Because they are all through the New Testament. They are all through the New Testament. How does just about every letter of Paul begin? I thank God for, and then he would mention specific good things that these brethren were doing, right? Your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope, your love for all the saints, as we've already seen. And you know the effect of that, right? It kind of keeps people going with that. It keeps them encouraged. You remember earlier in the lesson we read there from Galatians 6? You remember the warning given in verse 9? Do not grow weary in well-doing. Now that tells us that there is the possibility of that happening, right? We can grow weary in well-doing. Well, how can we help one another to not do that? Let's commend each other. Commend young people. Commend old people. Commend everybody that you... It could be things publicly, right? You appreciate the song leading. You appreciate the sermon. You appreciate the job someone did with the... It can be public things. But it can be just something about you appreciate the good example that someone's setting. The job some young mother is doing with her children. And by the way, thank you for bringing those kids here tonight. What a wonderful example that is. All kind of things. But again, that helps. That's a way of expressing our love for all the saints. All right, so let's move on to this second part. How about showing love for saints elsewhere, beyond the borders of Lawrenceville? 1 Peter 2 and verse 17 says, love the brotherhood. How about that? Love the brotherhood. Well, unless I'm missing something, that includes more than just the brothers here. Love the brotherhood. That's what we're talking about. How do we love the brotherhood? But again, we want to be as specific as we can. How about, let's send notes, messages of some kind to those whom you may support. I don't know other preachers that you may support here. I know we do several back there at Prattmont. But let's make sure that our fellowship with them is more than just a check or a money transfer. It needs to go beyond that, right? And maybe we're praying for them, but even go beyond that. I know there's a couple of brethren that we support there at Prattmont, and I'm able to communicate with them regularly through the WhatsApp. I'm sure some of you are familiar with that. But I'm constantly getting pictures. You know, I'm constantly getting videos from them about things that are going on. And there's just times I feel like I'm there. You know, the fellowship is certainly closer and more intimate, right, when we can kind of keep up with them better and send them those notes of encouragement. I remember Brother Paul Earnhardt saying one time, and in a lesson that I heard him preach, he was talking about the church there in Louisville that he's worked with for so many years, and he had talked to some of the brethren that were preaching in other parts of the U.S., other parts of the world, and they were always talking about how thrilled they were to get some kind of encouraging note from the brethren, right, from these places that were supporting them. Something else. Encourage brethren who are doing work elsewhere. And I really mean this in two senses. First of all, I don't know the situation here, but you may have some brethren here who are maybe helping out some brethren elsewhere, maybe filling in, you know, somewhere that maybe needs a preacher for this Sunday or whatever. We've got a couple of people back at Prattmont that do that. We've got a couple that help the brethren out in Selma. I've been helping with that work now for several years. Well, I figure when I can encourage them, that's not only showing love for those two men, I would like to think that it's showing love for all those brethren over there, because I'm keeping them encouraged in that work over there. See how that works? So we need to do that sort of thing. But the other sense in which I mean this is, you hear of brethren doing good in other places. As you have the opportunity, commend them for that good work. Again, it may just be a good example. It may be good teaching that someone's done. It can be any number of things. But our commendations need to extend beyond just here at Lawrenceville. Make sure those brethren know how deeply you appreciate the good that you're doing, because they might just keep it up. And it might even lead to an increase in their good works. That might give them even more momentum, right? To continue to do even more and more. And then here's something really simple. Set a good example. Set a good example. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I think it's taken me a little bit too long in my life to realize just how much a good influence radiates out and influences more people than we could possibly imagine. 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning with verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. It's like, let me tell you about the brethren there in Thessalonica. No, you don't need to. We already know. We already know. But here's the thing. You set a good example right here. Yes, other people here at Lawrenceville will observe that, and they'll be encouraged and strengthened by that. But then they'll tell a few other people, and those other people will tell a few other people, and then those few other people will tell a few more people, and it just... really, good example just continues to radiate, and it reaches more people than we can possibly imagine. What I'm trying to say is, you live the way the Lord would have you to live. You cannot imagine really just how much good that does for so many people. But we also need to pray for all the saints. That one's easy, right? That's what Ephesians 6 and verse 18 says. Praying for all the saints. And I might just add to that, and obviously it's difficult to get in contact with all the saints in every place, right? But as we have opportunity, we see saints from other places. You know, if we're actually doing this now, we need to make sure we're actually doing it. But just say, I am praying for you. I am praying for you. I remember reading an article by R.J. Evans several years ago, and that was the title of the article, I Am Praying For You. He was just talking about the impact that those words can make on people. I am praying for you. Let saints know that we're doing that. Something else, and boy, I am so glad that we've got a good number of visitors tonight, because that's going to really help the next point I'm going to make. Go to gospel meetings, singings, special studies that other local churches are having. That gives you an opportunity to be around some brethren from elsewhere, right? And to show love toward them. Your brethren here at Lawrenceville, how do you feel about having these visitors here tonight? It's encouraging, isn't it? It's really encouraging. Okay. I know it builds you up to see them. Probably even when they first came in, oh, we got visitors tonight. Really helps. Boy, it'd be a shame, wouldn't it? It'd be a shame to be that encouraged by others coming to the meetings here and then us not do the same. In other words, you know what it does for you. And so don't you think it's going to do the same for brethren in other places when you return the favor, when you do the same thing? You go and visit those. So now look, certainly you go to hear the gospel, to worship together with other brethren. Not trying to take away from that at all. But boy, there is that additional benefit of providing a huge encouragement to them. Well, we're going to bring this lesson to a close, but we got a few other things we want to say. I have no idea how well the brethren here may already be doing with this. I really don't know. But regardless of how well you may be presently doing, and regardless of how much you may even improve in the future, the Lord would have me to tell you one more thing tonight, and that is, you can still do more. And let me just briefly read a few passages. I won't ask you to turn to them. I'll just read them. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. We urge you to excel still more. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 10. Now, those two passages were written to brethren who seem to have already been doing a real good job. Need to do more. You need to continue to increase. Philippians 1 and verse 9, Paul says, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And the kind of love that we ought to have is expressed in the previous verse, Philippians 1 and verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. The affection that I have for you, brethren, is that of Jesus Christ himself. That's what we're aiming for, right? I don't know that I need to close without mentioning this one from John 13 and verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. If, you know the rest of it, right? If you have love for one another. When I think about those who will know that we are his disciples if we have love for one another, you know who we need to make sure that we include in that group? Our children. Our children. Our children, especially the young age, they don't have as much knowledge of Jesus Christ right now as they will one day. But the one thing they do know about him is about his love, right? And if they fail to see that, boy, what a negative impact. But now on the other hand, I don't want to end on a negative way. Let's think about all that we've been talking about tonight. Wouldn't it be great for children to grow up in that environment? Wouldn't that be great? For children to see brethren working so diligently to show love for all the saints. And I tell you who else might just be impressed is when you have visitors. Maybe you have visitors come from the community. Look, I know there's going to be more involved than just showing love for one another. They're going to have to hear the gospel and respond in the way that they should to that same gospel. But boy, it sure helps, doesn't it? When they can see that kind of love being demonstrated. Go ahead and get out your songbook, or those of you who use the songbook anyway. We're going to sing that invitation song here in just a moment. I appreciate the very good attention that you've given. And I'll have more to say about this in another lesson, but I don't mind one bit questions asked about the lesson. I don't even mind somebody coming up and saying, you know, another point that I think could be added to that lesson is this or that. Sewell Hall is with us tonight. Sewell, I remember your brother Bill writing an article one time. It was called Those Additional Points. You may recall the same article. He said, that's fine. He said, if it stimulates further thinking and people have got other things to ask, he said, don't ever be offended by that. So anything that you would like to add, or especially anything you need to correct, please talk to me about that. We've talked about our love for one another, but here at the end of the lesson, we of course talked about the model for that love being Jesus Christ. What great love, what self-sacrificing love he has shown. And I always appreciate the wording of Galatians 2 and 20. I know Hebrews 2, 9 says he tasted death for all men, but I love the way it's worded in Galatians 2, 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Would you not respond to that love tonight by fully believing in him, fully trusting him? So much to the point that you would repent. You would turn from whatever life you're living now, and it's going to be all dedicated to him, right? You surely won't have any trouble confessing his name before others and then being buried with him in baptism. Always so impressed by what Paul said to Agrippa. You know, when Agrippa says, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian, he said, look, I wish that everybody here could be just like me, except for these chains. In other words, I wish y'all had what I did. And this is a man that's just been suffering immensely, right? I wish y'all had what I did. If you're not a Christian tonight, I wish you could know the blessings of being a Christian. If we can persuade you to do that, and if you're ready to do that, please let us know as we stand and sing.